Self-study, svadhyaya. Reflection, introspection, self-awareness. To find out who you truly are, you have to inquire. Jiddu Krishnamurti. Los Angeles offers a smorgasbord of yoga practices, features, studios, and styles. Susanna, who works as a film director, likes to partake of the buffet. In a given week, she can do hot yoga in downtown LA, Shabbat yoga on the beach, drum circle yoga in the hills, or a gentle class in her neighborhood. When she rolled up her mat at the end of each class, she would find herself thinking, "This is exactly the class I needed." While reflecting one day on her eclectic practice and the positive influence yoga has had on her life, Susanna has a surprising insight about her practice. "It's not that there is some sort of yoga angel directing me to the right classes based on what I need. What I now realize is my inner spirit knows that wherever I am practicing, that is where I am meant to be. Even when I feel annoyed by the practice, or I don't like the sound of the teacher's voice, or someone next to me makes strange noises every time he's in downward dog, I remember, be humble. I am in a yoga class. I am grateful. I am alive." Consciously cultivating increased self-awareness is a practice of svadhyaya, the fourth niyama. It asks us to incorporate self-study as a regular practice, with an intention of assessing ourselves both lovingly and critically. This will help you develop the clarity needed to make mindful, positive changes in your life. How is self-awareness cultivated? Reflection, introspection, and consistent study are the building blocks of svadhyaya. Barclay Hudson, my professor and mentor, says the best way to start this practice is by stopping. Stop doing and invest some time in being. You can't practice svadhyaya without making a conscious choice to step off of life's treadmill, at least for a little while, to catch your breath, gaze into your internal mirror, and do personal inventories. Too often, work demands keep people excessively engaged in external activities, and don't count on your boss or coworkers to urge you to slow down or take an hour or two away from the office for self-reflection. You are tied to a perpetual to-do list that never seems to get shorted. How is it possible to take stock of who you are and create intentions about who you want to become when you're constantly running, trying to catch up to your life? Yet, self-study is imperative if you mean to spark your light to ever-increasing brightness. You can't fully develop your potential without awareness or faulty assumptions, your contribution to a difficult issue, or habits that do not serve you. Such awareness, combined with yearning for a more desirable state, is the provenance of positive change. Svadhyaya contributes to creativity, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, essential qualities for a satisfying and successful work experience. William George, former Medtronic CEO and co-author of True North, says it is a practice that helps people get connected with their authentic selves. In an article published by the Harvard Business School, George writes, "Authenticity is developed by understanding one's life story and the impact of one's crucibles and reflecting on how these contribute to motivations and behaviors. As people come to accept the less favored parts of themselves that they do not like or have rejected, as well as learning from failures and negative experiences, they gain compassion for themselves and authenticity in relating to the world around them." Internal focus, outward gaze. Laura Carrot became the CEO of her family's multi-billion grocery business in 2011, succeeding her father, David Shapiro. He was incredibly successful. It is a daunting thing when you're following big shoes. In addition, her father remains chairman of the Giant Eagle board, so he's not just her dad, he's her boss. "It's truly a wonderful thing," she says, "but it can also be frustrating." A long-time yoga practice has inspired her vision for the company, Carrot says, and its practice helped her stay grounded. She often uses connection to breath to inspire many sessions of svadhyaya when she finds herself responding instinctually to situations instead of taking mindful action. Carrot recalls an incident where such a session helped her glean an important insight about not letting her emotions rule. She was on her way to give a speech to a group of business people when her assistant called to announce that her boss dad had scheduled a board meeting at the same time she was slated to deliver her presentation. "I was mad. He knew I couldn't be there, and I started fuming. If I had been a CEO hired from the outside, he never would have done that. How could I be a CEO who isn't at a How could I be a CEO who isn't at a board meeting? She called her dad, who apologized, but she continued to fume. Then she reminded herself to take a deep breath and think clearly. Was this who she wanted to be? I realized she didn't intend this to be an affront to me, and the topic of the meeting wasn't even something I really needed to be there for. While she was happy to have the insight, Parrot said she's committed to continuing Svadhyaya to develop a self-awareness so keen that she can check her emotions before they cloud her perspective. Having the ability to be conscious of where you are, what you are good at, and what you are not so good at, and being okay with it, is a big part of being a good leader. The Yoga Sutras say that study, when it is developed to the highest degree, brings one closer to higher forces that promote understanding of the most complex. Finding sources of inspiration, whether it is in studying, the effectiveness of leaders or coworkers, reading inspirational texts, or seeking knowledge that helps us stretch our abilities, are also practice of Svadhyaya. Susan says she receives abundant edification from her yoga teachers that inform her work. In a place like Los Angeles, yoga is a great way to keep your ego in check. They never hand out trophies at the end of class, Susanna says. The other thing is that even though my favorite teachers are very different, the one thing that they have in common is that they are the truest versions of themselves. As an artist and human being, I find this really inspiring in my own work. When I am directing, there is a natural inclination to want to do everything myself. Really, my job is to help the crew to realize maximum creative potential. My favorite yoga teachers have helped me realize that in order to be a real influencer, you must allow yourself to be influenced. This muscle of adaptation has really been developed in my yoga practice. Sometimes a simple observation, if you are mindful, can become an opportunity for profound reflection. As I was writing this chapter, a friend emailed me a copy of a blog post by Peter Bregman, author of 18 Minutes. The blog post was about an experience of witnessing a father speaking sharply and unkindly to his son, after which the boy turned to his sister and hit her. That inspired Bregman to wonder about misdirected anger, and he began to think about the times he had done that himself. After seeing that boy hit his sister, I began to watch myself more closely. What do I direct at one person that's meant for another? Bregman wrote, "It's hard to see that kind of behavior in yourself. At first, I didn't notice anything, but I kept looking. A pattern began to emerge, one I'm embarrassed about, but that became hard to ignore. I do and say things specifically to impress people, even people I don't know." Bregman went even deeper as he gazed into his internal mirror. Did he really care about what complete strangers thought of him? And whom was he really trying to impress? His reflection revealed a childish wish to please his mother. With this insight, he was able to begin changing his habitual reactions. Svadhyaya helped him notice and understand a non-productive behavior, which helped him choose to make a positive change. The seeds of certainty. Self-awareness helps you to deconstruct the myths that have been sold to you as truth. What are you certain about, and why? Have you held up to the light your beliefs and philosophies, or stood them on end to consider a different perspective? People tend to cling to certainty because they think the opposite is uncertainty. In reality, the opposite of certainty is curiosity, openness, and willingness to see something in a fresh way. Svadhyaya asks you to find a child's mind, and examine what you have seen 1,000 times before as if it were a brand new discovery. Does that mean you have to give up skepticism or thinking about things critically? Absolutely not. Study requires the duality of openness and skepticism. As the great scientist Carl Sagan pointed out in an essay published in 1987, it seems to me what is called for is an exquisite balance between two conflicting needs. The most skeptical scrutiny of all hypotheses served up to us at the same time a great openness to new ideas. Obviously, those two modes are thought are in some tension. But if you are able to exercise only one of these modes, whichever one it is, you're in trouble. Lei Ann, who has practiced yoga for 12 years, credits Svadhyaya with helping her process work feedback. Credits Svadhyaya with helping her process work feedback in a way that leads to a higher quality of contribution in the office. She doesn't always see things the way her managers and coworkers do, but she makes a point to examine their feedback and her reaction to the feedback before she responds. She contrasts that habit to the instinctual response she had after her first personal review at a company specializing in relocation services. I got an average rating, and I took it very personally. I was angry and hurt. My attitude toward the company totally changed, and I didn't last long after that. Looking back, a lot of that feedback could have been useful if I had just stopped to think about it for a while. Yoga has helped her be less self-centered, Leanne says, and now she considers feedback in terms of how it can help her and the company perform better. I'm not sure if my impulse to question authority will ever disappear, but I process constructive criticism much differently now. I've developed an attitude of curiosity and gratitude, which has brought me more respect at work. My coworkers call me the Zen Master. Reflection, introspection, and clarifying your intention about who you want to be and what you want to create at work are all about Svadhyaya. This practice helps you bring your authentic self to work. Too often, clarity around intention gets overlooked in the rush to answer the question, how? How do I work more efficiently? How do I make the team perform better? How do I motivate others? How can I get the promotion? How can I make more money? Such questions are not unimportant, but they can be answered in a more meaningful context if you've first wrestled with questions about who you want to be in the world. What do you want to contribute? What would you like your legacy to be? As clear answers emerge, it is easier to choose the attitudes and actions that support your intentions. Self-awareness will help you understand how your beliefs and behaviors connect to the enterprise you are serving. Svadhyaya can also help you develop confidence in the strengths that you already possess. Not just your knowledge, skills, and techniques, although they are certainly important, but also the essence of who you are. Larry Dressler, author of Standing in the Fire, asserts that knowing and understanding your way of being can make the difference between competence and mastery. It is a specific kind of presence that others experience as fully engaged, open, authentic, relaxed, and grounded in purpose. Svadhyaya helps you find that core of integrity and presence so you can call it forth in complex, heated, and demanding situations. Donna, a physician who started out working in emergency rooms, says this precept of yoga helped her face a crisis early in her career. She considered herself a rookie at the time, but at least I had enough experience that my nightmares about making a bad decision and killing someone had gone away. The ER where she was working required that patients wait no more than 30 minutes after arrival to be seen by a caregiver. Depending on the number of patients demanding attention, the seriousness of the maladies, and the number of caregivers working, that could be tricky. One day, things were so crazed that Donna ended up with 3 patients in a row, all complicated, high-stress cases. The first patient was on dialysis and had below-the-knee amputations due to complications from severe diabetes. She had a fever and was vomiting. She spoke only Spanish, which required Donna to get a translator on the phone. As the patient began to explain her symptoms to the translator, she threw up all over the phone. Excusing herself and promising to return, Donna went to the next examining room, where a 5-year-old boy had a fever of 105 degrees and, between sobs, kept screaming that his stomach hurt. He was also vomiting, and his mother spoke only Spanish. Another translator would be needed. Donna walked out of the examining room, knowing the clock was ticking and she had yet to see the third patient. I started freaking out. I kept thinking, I can't do this. It is too overwhelming. I'm in over my head. She managed to get through the shift, but soon after was notified by a medical committee that some of her patients had filed complaints. She would have to appear before the committee to address the issue. I had already done a lot of thinking about that day, says Donna, who has practiced yoga for more than a decade. Although I always considered myself really approachable, for the first time I could see that when I get overwhelmed, I start snapping at people. I'm not always so nice at a time when people need a calm and compassionate response. And I also realized that when I get that stressed out, I didn't take very good care of myself, which just made everything worse. She went to her meeting with the committee, feeling embarrassed and humble instead of defensive. She acknowledged that the patients who complained had cause, and she apologized for the way she had treated them. I was honest about that, and I also apologized for wasting their time. I told them that I hadn't been taking care of myself, but that I was committed to doing things differently. I promised to make sure that I eat during my shift and also drink plenty of water, but she didn't stop there. Donna mustered up the courage to tell the committee that in order to do her job effectively, she would not be able to consistently comply with the demand to see patients within 30 minutes. Sometimes that just didn't serve the patients, she told the committee. Svadhyaya practice helped Donna see how she was contributing to a difficult situation and own it publicly. At the same time, she wanted the medical committee to understand that the hospital's rules were unrealistic, which gave her the courage to practice satya by speaking truth to power. I wanted them to understand the real-life impact of the demand on of their demands on us. I told them, I intend to address this on my own, and as an organization, I think you should consider addressing this as well. Donna's story has a happy ending. The response from the committee was favorable, and she has never received another patient complaint. Honestly, I didn't need anyone to tell me what I had done wrong or how to fix it. Through my own practice of Svadhyaya, I figured it out myself. And by having the courage to be direct with the members of that committee, I was showing them a human face that revealed the real impact of their demands. It made a difference. 5 suggestions for practicing Svadhyaya. Number 1. Use this niyama to reflect on this book so far and see what you are learning about yourself. Number 2. Write down 3 things you believe are true at work. Identify the assumptions in your statements. Spend a few minutes asking yourself, what if it weren't true? Is there a different story I could tell? How many other stories are possible? Number 3. Make a list of all the labels you associate with yourself or which other people have used about you. Husband, mother, worker, American, immigrant, hard worker, difficult to get along with, etc. What are some of the inherent assumptions of those labels? How do they influence the way you engage work and the people you work with? Are there labels you wish to add or to shed? Which ones and why? Number 4. Ask a few close and trusted friends or coworkers to give you feedback when they see you resorting to bad habits or taking action that don't reflect who you want to be. Set aside a specific time for periodic conversations to get feedback. When you receive it, don't justify your actions, just say, thank you. What do you notice? Number 5. Make a list of your core values. Where did they come from? Are they still relevant? Now think about examples where these influenced your actions. Have there been times when you failed to align your actions with your values? Why? This has been a reading of Svadhyaya from Yoga Wisdom at Work by Kevon Lindenberg. Authors Marin Shoker and Jamie Shoker.